Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport, the record book.
Hello, everybody. As Dr. Nick from The Simpsons used to say, I'm Danny Kelly. Welcome to the Game Day Record Book podcast, the podcast that attempts in a very short while every week to put together all of the best and worst things that have happened in our football over the weekend and during the week, so that by the end of the season, you'll have a definitive guide to everything that's happened in at least one year of English football. To help me do that over the course of the next 40 minutes or so, I'd like to say I'm joined by comedian, football pundit and fan of MF Doom, it turns out. And we've been talking about a lot this over the last few days.
Yeah.
Mark Smith. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Danny. Thanks for having me on again.
Very, very welcome. Looking forward to working with you. And beside him, former Queen's Park Rangers, Fulham, Manchester United and England centre-back, wing-back and full-back. And a man who knows a train, he's way up and down a train timetable and hasn't got much time to hang about today. Paul Park. Hello, Paul. Welcome back.
Thank you, Danny. And hello.
And Martial then twists away from Rodri. That was poor from Rodri. Back to Martial from James. Squeezes in at the near post, Anthony Martial. And it's 2-0 to Manchester United. And on a day of heavyweight contest, the champs have been hit with an absolute haymaker.
Concentration levels of our boys when they got physically tired was absolutely unbelievable.
That's great. Went straight to Pratt, and he's played it through the middle for Vardy. And all of a sudden, Vardy's one-on-one with Heaton. And that is that. Jamie Vardy at the double again. He's in rich form at the moment, the Premier League's leading marksman.
We'll start with our hero of the week. And Mark, yours is a celebrity couple.
yeah, it is. It's a maybe a bit of a strange one. It's the Vardys.
Well, on this show? Go on.
Who'd have thought it? It is the Vardys.
Ah,
that's
the Vardys.
Jamie and...
Yeah.
It is. It's an absolute soap opera.
Yep.
The Vardys, I would watch several seasons of that programme.
Jamie
that
and
TV.
Rebecca, isn't
Jamie
it?
Jamie and Rebecca, yeah.
And if it, even though, I mean, I'm sure Jamie Vardy has a very expensive motor car, probably worth a third of £1 million, I wouldn't be surprised if they had one of those sun visors that said Jamie
yes.
and Rebecca.
I'd be disappointed if they didn't have that.
They've gone out of fashion, those. They were great, weren't they? You probably don't remember
them. I do remember them. Yeah, I remember looking at kids who were older than me at school and thinking, yeah, that does look quite good. But I was
Danny
wrong.
And Spurs. Yeah, of course.
Your one true love.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Why are they your hero of the week?
Well, because Jamie Vardy this weekend was absolutely phenomenal. Yet again, as he has been for most of the season.
He's a monster.
And it's not just the season, is it? He's been consistently great for a number of years now, particularly since Brendan Rodgers took over this time last year. And he scored his 8th goal in 8 games. Oh, sorry, no, he's more than that. He's scored consecutively in 8 games.
Equaling his own record.
Yeah, yep. Which incidentally, and this is where Rebecca comes in, he scored in every game since the Rebecca Vardy scandal broke with the Colleen Rooney rumours.
Yes.
And I think they're in cahoots. I think it seems to have spurred Jamie Vardy on to greater and greater heights.
So she should then, at the end of the season, she should be allowed to say, and the Footballer of the Year is ...
Yeah.
Jamie Vardy.
There should be an asterisk where Jamie Vardy wins it.
Look, nobody, I don't bow down to anybody in my love of Jamie Vardy. As I often say on shows and podcasts, I really don't think I'd like to go have him around for a party because he's sort of like he might trash your joint. But
when you say joint, you're not. I
know nothing about his personal habits at all. Paul, you know, sometimes I look at you and I wonder what's going on in that lovely face and head of yours. You think he's better than Harry Kane?
I do. I'd rather play with him in my team than Harry Kane. because I know what I'm getting week in, week out.
What, you mean Harry Kane's 23 and 24 so far this season won't do?
No, but when I watch people jog around and not even bother to try and make a tackle and come off the pitch with clean shorts, sorry, maybe I'm living in that old world, call me a dinosaur, Tyrannosaurus Rex or something like that. But I'd rather play with Jamie Vardy, put him up there, and you know that he'll make bad into good. If he makes a bad into good, you know he might come and grab you by the scruff of the neck and want to punch you, but at least you know he's going to make a bad ball into a good ball.
Who would you rather play against?
Harry Kane all day long.
You fancy your chances?
All day long.
Still?
Well, now, yeah. Every time I've seen people try to beat him up, he just accepts it.
Okay.
I honestly think, Paul, and I've got no medical qualifications, I think you're nuts.
I
genuinely think you're nuts. All I see is Kane physiquing people out in the number 10 position, all the rest of it.
So for England, you'd pick, if it was up to you, you'd pick Vardy ahead of Kane. Do you not think maybe Vardy's uptick in quality over the last year has been maybe something down to not playing international football and not being distracted so much?
No, I just think he's working with a coach who's been very respectful to him, has actually said you're better than just chasing balls over the top like a cocker spaniel chasing a tennis ball.
Do you see Claude Puel's piece in the paper saying Vardy was like a child to deal with? I find that a bit disingenuous, because all you've got to do if you're a modern manager, the players are fit, they know how to play, all you've got to do is get the best out of them. That's their job. And falling out of them because you think he's a bit childish.
Yeah, that's just a personality trait, isn't it? He's just he's young at heart. He likes to have a good time. He likes a party, as the song goes. I don't see there being much of an issue there. I think if the manager can't control him for something like that, then that, as you say, that is his problem, not Jamie Vardy's.
Now, Paul, I've run you down there by declaring you with no medical qualifications to be out of your tree. But to be very fair, Paul, we do want your opinion. Who is your hero of the week?
Well, it has to be Ole Gunnar. Has to be.
But I thought he was getting the sack a week ago.
Yeah, but it did actually come out and say that. But as been mentioned, he's beaten allegedly two of the best managers in the world, and he's beaten them well. Spurs was a little bit tighter, so he went up against maybe what people see as a better modern day manager, Pep, and totally outclassed them. First half domination, second half, as they say now, they managed the game. Absolutely managed the game. City 2-1 flattered them all day long.
I know you're a QPR fan by upbringing and everything, but you're a former Manchester United player. Seeing Roy Keane actually purring about Manchester United's team, a rare sight indeed. Were you purring?
I have to say I was. It's the best. It's the best I've seen them play for a long, long time, and I've seen a few games just quite recently and over the years. And as a football, for 90 minutes, that is their... In 90 minutes, they got more better minutes in that than what they have done in games for a long, long time.
Do you think, long-term, that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the answer to the Manchester United manager issue?
I'm going to...
There's no wrong answer, Paul. I just wonder what you think.
I'm going to turn around and say, thankfully, he's going to get the opportunity in January to spend... Is he going to be allowed to spend and bring in what he can? And then are they going to be respectful to him again? And for the club not to lose its integrity, are they going to give him a summer to go and spend and go and do what he would love to have done last summer?
Because I don't doubt that for Manchester United fans and former players like yourself, to win at the Champions of England, your local rivals, is an amazing thing. I'm only worried in case it turns out to be... It could either be Paris 2... where they make the wrong decision on the back of a great result, or it could be the turning point. We'll see about that.
Yeah, but we have to say, as we know, is that their strengths, United, this season is beating the big sides.
Yes.
Their biggest problem is they can't beat the sides they're expected to win against.
But there's more of those games, which is the problem, isn't it? You have fewer games against top four, top five, top six.
And the reason they do it, of course, is the other teams, the good teams, are pressing down on Manchester United, which allows their front four, with that incredible amount of pace they've got, to get away. And of course, in that way, they're a very modern team.
So my suggestion would be, hear me out, Paul. I would say that, yes, it's been a fantastic week for Ole Gunnar, and I do like him a lot, and I think he's United through and through, and he loves the club, and they love him. But I would suggest... maybe move him upstairs to a director of football role, let him oversee this new, this continuation of the classic United culture of bringing through young players, and bring in a manager who maybe has cut his teeth a bit more.
I can't imagine you want to do that, though.
I like that. It's like going out and getting a director of football, get a 10-year-old to be over Ollie, isn't it, really? Cause, so could you imagine, say, a top-class manager saying, Ollie's my director of football, what's he done? Cardiff City and Mould, he took them to a league championship. That's not going to work, Mark, really.
Not happy with that suggestion.
I like what you're...
You're saying he's nuts as well.
No, I didn't say that. Come out and called me. Yeah. I actually haven't used those words, so really, he doesn't know what I'm thinking.
I was regretting them even as they're coming out of my mouth, but you were saying that Harry Kane's no God, I can't have that. Now, listen, my hero of the week is my hero of the week for two reasons. One, because of his considerable achievements at the weekend, and two, because I'd be afraid to say anything else about him. Duncan Ferguson, for those of you who are teenagers, or perhaps still as youthful as Mark is here, you just ought to know there are scary footballers, there are frightening footballers, and then there's Duncan Ferguson. He was an astonishing piece of work when he was a centre-forward for Everton, Glasgow Rangers and others. A giant, brutal, competitive is not even the word, aggressive piece of work when you are still allowed to do all those things. Let's be honest about it. Let's call it what it is. He was one of the only footballer, in my knowledge, to be imprisoned for his actions on the pitch after that. Who did it? You know who he headbutted. Ah, Paul McStay's brother, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, and the Scottish police got a bit busy with that. I always think that the referee's in charge of what goes on the pitch. Why on earth were the police involved? But there you are. He got done for that and went to prison. And of course, the great story about Duncan Ferguson, who tried to get round it all yesterday, at the weekend, by wearing a suit and managing Everton. A while ago, I think in what may be the most extraordinary meeting men have ever had in a pub, and that's saying something, isn't it? Two blokes said, I see Everton are playing away this weekend. That means Duncan Ferguson won't be at home. Why don't we burgle his house? Duncan was injured and was in the house when they broke in, right? So now you've got a very fit Duncan Ferguson, or carrying an injury, albeit, and two burglars. This was the worst idea men or women have ever had.
It's like a Guy Ritchie film.
And when he tells the story, Duncan Ferguson said, well, it kicked off in the hallway. And first I rang the police to say I'd been burgled, and then I rang the ambulance for the two lads. He rang both of the emergency services. I'm surprised he hadn't set the house on fire while he was at it. Duncan Ferguson, A, those programme notes, B, to set a team up 4-4-2 to upset Chelsea's football, and C, to concede the most free kicks of any team in the Premier, I think in Premier League history. No, the most tackles in Premier League history.
Is that right?
They were fantastic, Everton. My God, Sigurdsson tackled and ran around in central midfield. It was an incredible game.
Can I just say one thing as well?
Yes.
Duncan Ferguson mostly was one of the hardest footballers ever, yeah?
Yeah.
Ever with that, you know, him and maybe Mick Hartford.
Thank you very much. Whenever I used to ask people on my old TV show on Channel 4, my question remember, who's the hardest player you've ever got played against? They would all say, you mean without Mick, not counting Mick Hartford, obviously.
Well, this present moment, we have to say Duncan Ferguson may be the hardest manager.
Yeah. Oh, he'd win a fight on
touchline. Yeah. Who wins that?
Yeah. I mean, I just can't see Eddie Howe getting involved in that sort of thing.
No. I've got a little tenner on Sean Dyche as an outside bet.
Oh, no. So you're not going to get that.
Well, what are the odds? I'm still putting a tenner down. I'll still do it.
I think Sean may remember him as an opponent, and he probably wouldn't take the fight either. There's a fantastic lineup for Hero of the Week here. The Vardys. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, on the thick end of so much criticism so far this season, but brilliant in the last week, or Duncan Ferguson. I think the Vardys are the weakest here. Do you want to change your view?
Yeah.
Good.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind. It's a free country.
I'm going to go with Big Dunk, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you surprised by that, Danny?
I thought you might want to back up Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I've already thrown you there, haven't I?
Yeah, you have, absolutely.
Okay, I'll go with Ole Gunnar then instead.
No, I'll tell you what. I want you to stay strong. Don't fall to change your mind.
I'm going to be like Big Dunk. I'm going to stay strong and I'm going to back my man.
Right, okay, I like that. I'm trying to look at everything and I'm going to come out and I haven't taken anything, not being threatened at all.
No.
I'm going to go with Big Dunk. I have to because he's new kid on the block and I've got to go down that line.
And there you see it. Three men, different generations, different physiques, all slightly afraid of Duncan Ferguson, who is the Hero of the Week.
The title race, do you forget about that now? There's 14 points, so what's your feeling?
It's a lot of distance. What we have to think is continue. So with when we are 10 points in front, you have to continue. We're 10, 6, 11. We have to continue.
That is it. The referee blows the final whistle. A goal was drawn at Vicarage Road. Not much good from the bottom side. A big job on for Nigel Pearson as he takes charge on Monday. Watford 0, Crystal Palace 0.
Now Tielemans, edge of the box, out for Maddison, left-hand side. Good cross in from Maddison, 2-0, just like that. Kelechi Iheanacho in at the near post to continue his red-hot recent form. Wonderful cross that from James Maddison. And inside the six-yard box, Iheanacho able to pay it the compliment it deserved.
OK, we've done the hero of the week. A very good lineup as well for the villain of the week. Why don't I go first this time? My villain of the week is Pep Guardiola. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I've been watching football for a long time. Too long, my missus would say, and too often. But I'm sorry, I have certain conclusions I've come to about the game in which I'm absolutely going to defend to that famous ditch in which people die. And one of them is that you must have defenders in a football team. Now, I know that Guardiola doesn't believe this. He genuinely doesn't believe it. He thinks, don't defend the goal, defend the ball. And we've seen him do it at Barcelona when he puts Mascherano, a midfield player, into the back four. He does it again with Martinez at Bayern Munich. He, this season, because of circumstances, has started with even less defenders at Manchester City. He's playing midfielders at full-back. He's playing full-backs in the middle of midfield. And he's only playing one central defender. OK, fine. That does all right every now and then. But in the Premier League, it's been proven again and again and again, the teams are too good. And what Manchester United did to them at the weekend, stop grinning, Paul Parker, what Manchester United did to them at the weekend, surely a man of his intelligence has to wake up and say, we cannot go on like this. Fernandinho is not a central defender. And in playing him at central defence, they're weakening two positions of the team because they're weakening the midfield as well. Now, look, there's other things going on there as well. David Silva has clearly reached a moment where his greatness is starting to lose its shine. They haven't got Aguero. Sane is missing. There's all kinds of things. These things happen to football teams. But to think that the solution to it, Pep, is to do ever less defending. My God, if they didn't have Kyle Walker yesterday, they'd have lost 6-0.
Yep.
They'd have lost by six goals, wouldn't
Correct.
They? And look, I think he's a genius. But at the present moment, he's a villain because he's King Canute. You cannot stand against the tide of 130 years of football history and say you don't need a defence. Because, sir, I'm sorry, you do need a defence.
Yeah, I mean...
did you hear the music rising up behind me there? Nimrod. That was good, wasn't it?
I do agree with you. And I also think they've got more problems mounting because John Stones went off in that game. So they're down to, zero centre-backs now. They've got no
Otamendi.
Otamendi, but I'm not counting him as a defender, Danny. I can't put him in that
category.
Well,
I think he is a defender. I think he and Stones are really interesting. Otamendi can defend, but he can't play out. Stones is a decent footballer, but can't defend. Combined, they might make one decent defender.
But
make one Paul Parker on a good day to pair of them.
Possibly on a very good day. But you know what? For me, it's a dereliction of duty of the recruitment as well, because they know they need at least one defender in there because... You know,
Vincent Kompany was going.
Kompany and Laporte does play whenever he's fit.
Do you think there is recruitment there, or is there Pep Guardiola?
Well, he and Bagiristain run the club, don't they? And they're mates from Barcelona. And they both have this belief that you defend the ball and not your goal. You can get eight midfielders and two strikers onto the pitch. And I'm sorry, I just don't think... Look, they won all the trophies in England last year. So I'm in no position to criticise, but it is it's a bee in my bonnet. We're not asking him to play like Diego Simeone or to go back to Catenaggio, but pay some deference to the truths of the game.
Well, that game yesterday, it became a case of, and Stuart said it straight away, said it does virtually any when Manchester United got the ball back, even in deep in their own half, don't even look up, see where a bit of space is, put the ball there, and those three up front would run onto it, and that's what was happening in that first half.
It was carnage, wasn't it?
It was.
That first half hour was carnage.
They didn't need Xavi Alonso or Steven Gerrard to pick the passes.
No,
just belt it into the spaces between. And I say, if it wasn't for Kyle Walker's phenomenal athleticism, who got back three times, I think, from way behind his attack. What a runner he is, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's my boil about Pep Guardiola lanced. Paul, who's your villain of the week?
I'm going to say all in one. I'm going to say the media.
Is that
Hang
us
on.
As well?
That's him as well.
No. I'm an ex-footballer.
Okay. Okay.
Am I?
What does it say on your paycheck? Well,
Sorry,
I wouldn't want to discuss your paycheck.
Mine says £25.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
You've had a raise, have you?
I'm just going to say the media, and especially the USA Premier League Twitter account.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Go on. You know, I'm
because
good,
more than anything, claiming Liverpool's win and City's defeat puts Liverpool 14 points clear. So in theory,
they did.
And then all of a sudden, I've said to myself, is there more than two teams in this league? Oh, yeah, I'm going to say there's one more team, and they're called Leicester City.
Spot on.
And all of a sudden, they are 8 points, is that correct?
Yes.
8 points behind. So, in theory, everything suggests that they can definitely catch Liverpool. I'm not saying that 14 points can't, but I'm saying Leicester City...
I'm saying it can't. You might have played in Manchester United teams that did it, but those days of Liverpool are too good for that.
Yeah, it is present, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Leicester City, with their current form and the highest goal scorers in the Premier League...
Won their last 9 games in all competitions.
Can go on.
No, and this is why I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because I read that thing as well from the Twitter account of the Premier League in America. But also, bear in mind, we've been doing it here on the radio station, talking about the 14-point gap. Papers are full of it. But the thing I don't understand is why, how thick are we? Because we're not goldfish, are we? Leicester City did exactly the same stunt less than 4 years ago. Yeah. It was a click of a finger away. Nothing's happening there. Don't worry about that.
It's so disrespectful, isn't it?
The next thing you see, they're holding a trophy up in the air and the ticker tape's falling down their head.
Yeah.
They're doing it again.
But it's just so disrespectful to sort of erase Leicester from the conversation at all. Oh, it's 14 points. Well, it's 14 points to the team you want to win it, but it's not really 14 points.
And there's an argument, and I think it's one, and I'm taking your view very seriously because you're from that part of the world. From the East Midlands, are you?
I am, yeah.
Yep. That you think this is a better Leicester team than one that won the title?
I mean, feel free to come at me for this, but I think this is a better side 1-11 than the one that won the league. They've got more points at this stage of the season than they did in that historic season.
They've got a better manager.
Potentially, yes. And also, I think that apart from maybe Conte, I think there's more outstanding players, there's more stars in this team. I look around that Leicester side and I see players that could be in the Premier League at the top level 5, 6, 7 years down the line.
Mark, you've really got a downer for us in your villain of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I say villain, it's more villains. Yeah, my villains of the week.
Yeah.
My villainses of this week are anybody associated with that Watford Palace game at the weekend.
Even the people who went to see it.
Even the people that are talking about it, Danny, including myself in that.
Yeah, and your family.
And my family, everyone listening. It was just one of those games where... just nothing happened. Nothing was looking likely to happen. Nothing. It was just awful.
By the way, Paul, Nigel Pearson suddenly out of nowhere.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing, isn't it?
It was like a film, wasn't it? Where a character you saw in the very first second of the film walked off set. You thought, that can't be the murderer because they've not turned up since. And then, 2.5 hours later, and the inspector has got them all gathered in the drawing room and he appears holding the drinks and he's suddenly the murderer.
Yeah, but he's a bit part. Because he actually built the team that won the league for Leicester.
The Leicester players, are the remaining players, they're very happy to say that, aren't they?
Yeah.
But that was a... I'm walking about a sort of tightrope here, because I'm just saying, don't forget, Leicester did all this to less than 4 years ago. But it was a while ago. Look, I'm told he's a fantastic guy around the club. He will get them all together and going in the right direction. I actually think, to me, this looks like planning for the Championship, if I'm truthful.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance they could have another manager by March, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They are the poor man's Real Madrid of managers, aren't they?
And I see that the poor man whose job is a man in this case, to paint the manager's name on the door of his office and on the car park, he's been laid off for a couple of months with RSI. it's a real shame there at Watford. Yeah, very, very sad indeed.
But by the way, Nigel Pearson versus Duncan Ferguson might be a bit tasty.
Well, I think they could both fight Anthony Joshua, judging by that fight we just saw, to be honest. All right, so I'm going to leave it to Paul this time because, villain of the week could be the disrespectful media, Pep Guardiola for his disregard for defenders, or the snooze fest at Vicarage Road.
I can pick myself, can't I? I can go as strong as... I'm going to have to go above the snooze fest because there's a lot of them this season. There's plenty of games you could put together which, in theory, none of us would want to go and watch. But when you talk about disrespecting teams who are Premier League, have already won the Premier League, and the fact of they've won it more than what Liverpool have, And I think they should be actually...
Spoken like a true Manchester United footballer.
It wasn't meant that way, to be honest. It's going to be taken that way in Liverpool, but I promise you it wasn't meant that way.
So we're sticking with the media and their attitude towards Leicester.
I've got to stick with that, yeah.
You happy with that?
Listen, you've got to go your own way. Don't feel as if you've got to go...
Danny, I mean, I'm going with you again. I'm not planning this, but yeah. I'm going with you again, I'm afraid. I'm going to go with Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, I'm part of the media, and I think sometimes you have to take your lumps. Because I've been saying... No, I've not been saying that, but I haven't been giving Leicester their full due. And noticing, I say today, that they've won 9 on the spin now in all competitions. I don't care what kind of... That is some going for a football team, because... Yeah. Anything can happen, you know, bad decision, VAR, same thing, referee, goal of somebody's backside. No, that's our villain of the week, the media who don't understand that Leicester City are the real deal. And if it wasn't for Liverpool's supernatural form, we'd be heading for a league title.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
The referee blows the full-time whistle and Manchester United have beaten Manchester City on what could be a pivotal night in the race for the title. It's only the second time in 12 Premier League away games that Manchester United have won on their travels.
Might just go alone here, Son. Oh, this would be an absolutely wonderful goal if he can go all the way. It's Son. It is absolutely brilliant. Heung-min Son has scored one of the special goals in the Premier League.
Performance of the week, and Paul, I'm gonna start with you for because I know you're gonna pick, and as a brilliant defender yourself, I think you're gonna let you stretch out here and enjoy talking about Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Right, first of all, I'm gonna have to put you to task here a little bit. Right. When you say stretch out, are you having a go at my height?
No, right, I didn't. Okay. We sat down. I didn't even notice you were really tiny.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm going to have to try and respond now. Right. Anyway, I'm going to talk about, for me, the man with the telescopic legs is Wan-Bissaka. He is without doubt, the best defending right back in the Premier League, maybe in Europe. The man must win 99% of his challenge. He missed one challenge in that whole game at the Etihad.
Well, that's up against Raheem Sterling, arguably the best player in the world in that position.
It was a great battle. And again, I say it's first thing, Stuart Pearce, he must have planned it straight away. Within the first minute, he talked about that's what's going to intrigue him, the battle between those two. And to be fair, it was spot on. You couldn't watch anything better than watching those two.
He's got one season under his belt. Yeah, how's he doing this?
Because he's a natural. That man is born to defend. But he just wants to make tackles. He anticipates. Sir Alex Ferguson always used to use the words that people kind of sense danger. He sees it. There's one time when if people watch the game, saw Sterling running across the front of the 6-yard box wanting to shoot. Wan-Bissaka was on the outside of him, not allowing him to pull his right foot back because he was there. The moment he pulled his right foot back. He knew that it could have been taken off his toe, so he had to keep touching the ball, and that allowed then Lindelof to block it when he went to shoot.
Help me with something else I've not seen before. He's a. I played fullback on Hackney Marshes. You played fullback in the World Cup. There's a difference. I've never seen a fullback who's equally happy tackling with both feet.
Yeah,
he tackles with both feet.
He does. He puts
puts the defender, the attackers off. They don't know what he's going to do.
He doesn't give away fouls. I mean, he's that good at doing it. It's amazing how he does it. He does not give away fouls. Very rarely gets yellow card. And I think I've seen him get one. And even then, that was, again, a referee playing silly buggers. But he is that good. Yes, he does lack it going forward. Yes, attacking-wise, he is not anywhere near Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah.
I've got to say that before Liverpoolians take it the wrong way, what I'm trying to say. But he is the best defender in the Premier League. And I said, again, mentioning Stewart, that he reminds me of Des Walker. Without doubt, another Des Walker.
He's possibly even more athletic than Des, isn't he?
Yes, oh yeah. Des, he's not, Des wasn't a clean runner.
He was a gliding machine, yeah. Des. But this fella, he's hunting these people down. Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
And when they pay 50... Sorry, Mark.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that it's interesting that we talk about his defensive instincts and maybe not so good going forward, because he was a winger for the large portion of his youth career. Only in the last few years has he gone to fullback.
They always say you've got to go backwards to go forwards.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I would go as far as saying he's the best defender one-on-one in the country. Yeah. And I think that for England and the Euros, I'd take him as someone not only as a backup for Trent at right-back, but if we're coming up against a game against the likes of Ronaldo or Hazard, an outstanding individual, he could be a guy that could go man-marking,
do a proper job on him.
There's nothing he can't do defensively. Mm.
Well, I was going to say, when Manchester United paid 50 million for him, I wondered whether they'd got the wrong kind of fullback, because he doesn't do the modern thing of bombing on and bombing on. But if he allows the rest of the team the security of shoring up the whole right side of the team like he does, from the halfway line back to their own goal, it's pretty extraordinary. That was an amazing performance. And you can see great defence performances. What you're playing against? You're playing against Raheem Sterling, who we know has given other defenders nightmares. He's finishing careers, that lad, so fantastic. You want to go for some more young Manchester United players?
Yeah, well...
Performance of the week.
My performance of the week is actually the Manchester United engine room. That is the midfield duo of Fred and McTominay.
Fred?
And I've got to say, I didn't think I'd be saying this.
He's a laughingstock.
Danny, you know what? A few weeks ago, I'd have said the same thing. And I'll tell you, Paul's going to back me up on this, I think, because those two as a team were absolutely superb against Man City on Saturday. Fred, who has been hammered by the press, by critics, by general media, by fans, by his own teammates, I imagine, was absolutely fantastic. And I don't think it's a coincidence that McTominay's come back from the Spurs game onwards and they've won both games. He seems to have come in. There's a level of calm in that midfield, a lot more physicality in there when needed, and he's allowed Fred to play his more natural game. And I think they were just brilliant against what's probably the most gifted midfield in Europe at the moment.
Yeah, I like Fred. What is there to come back from to go and produce that performance? He had a decent performance against Tottenham. He took it to another level against City. I think now he's allowed to earn his stripes and call him Fredinho. He's allowed to have a proper Brazilian name now.
Not just Fred the Dead Red, I was thinking about him for the last
Fred
little
Eugenio,
while.
He can have a name because now he might become a proper Brazilian footballer now.
But the catalyst for all this is McTominay, as he says. Now, who knew that a player of that age could come in? But that's the issue, isn't it? 18-year-olds become 19-year-olds, become 20-year-olds. You can see him physically growing into the Premier League.
I'm saying at the moment is that he's going around, he's pumping a badge, he's going in, he's kicking people. He's doing a few silly things, a little petulant things as well, but he's only young. But he's doing all the bits at the moment. And if United are going to keep building, carrying on, if they're going to build, he might be able to stay in there and keep himself as a regular. But there's still lots in his game has got to improve on.
So the two nominations so far, performance of the week, are Manchester United's engine room and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. We would be not doing our job, and forgive me if this is biased, and I wonder if it had been different if Wan-Bissaka had been playing. But I've been watching football for a very long time, and I'm always looking for new things. And I'm not one of those who looks back and says it was all great in the day. It was great in its own way, and it's great now. And some of that greats was shown by a very, very nicely prepared pitch, which allowed a man, in the case of Son Heung-min, to run the entire, well, from the edge of his own box to score at the other end against Burnley. Now, I think people think they've seen this goal a lot of times. You haven't. You've seen people run and not quite score. You see people run and play a 1-2 with a colleague and keep going and score. I think you two, when we talked about it beforehand, do remember one other similar goal.
Yeah, George Weah for AC Milan.
So the very fact that we can think of one other from the million football matches we watched between the three of us is extraordinary. It wasn't a dribble, was it? It was just he ran through them, Paul. The pace.
He did. I mean, as good a goal it is, you have to look at the defenders. You have to. Not one of them got close to even pulling on his shirt, or they got close and didn't want to pull
and this
his
is
shirt.
Burnley.
This is Burnley,
This is Burnley.
They're designed for that.
Design. What? Take him out on the edge of your own box. Don't let him go anywhere near the halfway line.
I know that his parents were in the studio. Sorry, in the stadium. What am I like? Talk about the media bubble. His parents were in the stadium. I think it might be the first time they've seen him play in England.
Right.
And he may have been showing off somewhat. But I have to say, there are goals which you never, ever forget. I'm thinking about Tony Yeboah's volley for Leeds. And you just think, well, I'm never going to see that again. Mm. I think we might go a very long time. Of course, football being the way it is, there might be another one next week. But to see someone do that thing that you think can only happen in playground football, to pick the ball up on the edge of your own box, belt through the entire team, then have the wherewithal to slow down to beat the goalkeeper because, I've seen Sissoko run through whole teams like that and then, bless him, blaze it over the bar. But you have to finish it, don't you? Otherwise, it's pointless.
Well, we've seen Zouma been trying that for ages, haven't we, for Chelsea? He keeps doing that, doesn't he?
I think if the Burnley keeper saves that, he should be banned for 6 months.
All for banning people and big fines this week, aren't you?
I absolutely am. I think if he ruins all of our lives by saving a beautiful goal like that, just get him out. Get rid.
I disagree with you profoundly. I think if the goalkeeper comes out and saves it, that's the beauty of football. All that effort for nothing and no one will ever remember it. But because he stuck it in, it was a magnificent goal. And here on the Game Day Record Book podcast, we'd be not doing our duty if we didn't pay full tribute to the ever-smiling South Korean. So those are your performances of the week. The defensive brilliance of Aaron Wan-Bissaka. The Manchester United engine room, much derided, but very good against Manchester City. And Son's individual goal in a team sport, you rarely see a goal which doesn't rely on anybody else. Although somebody will say, some football expert will say, well, you see the way Dele Alli went around to the left, it pulled one of the players away. There were still eight around him. don't give me that. I know somebody was going to say that on the television. It's not true. In fact, Son himself said, I wanted to pass to Dele, but I couldn't find him. No, because he was hiding out on the touchline. But Mark, you've made the case for several things. Why don't you lead the sort of decision making?
Well, I'm actually going to stick with the United engine room on this one because they've come through adversity. Those two, McTominay and Fred. Fred in particular. McTominay was an unknown quantity really start of this season or middle of last season. They've come through against a fantastic Man City side and really bossed the game. And I think for that reason, I'm going to go for the United engine room.
Paul, I can hear you making the argument for a brilliant defensive performance. I can hear you making the argument for a wide player clashing through a whole team, cutting through them. As a defender, you must know once in a while you see something you can't stop. Can't be the United engine room. Pick someone else.
I've got to go with Son, really. I have to, because that's what everybody, when football, that's what everyone looks for. It's about good attacking play. They want to see skill. They want to see great goals. They want to see
Fred.
They want to see a South Korean smiling from ear to ear, a non-stop smile. They're the kind of things that what football's about, in my opinion. Because as someone will always say, it's easier to destroy than create.
And I think, and that's no disrespect to Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who I love defending, but I'm going to go with it, actually. Because when we look back at the end of the season in the record book, if that goal, which I suspect will be goal of the season, is not even on a weekly basis heralded, then we will look like mugs. And it is mugs that Mark Smith wanted us to look, but we have defied him.
For Burnley, it's a third successive defeat. And their wait for a first win in this part of North London since October 1974, and the old Division 2 continues. Full-time here, emphatically, on TalkSport 2. It finishes Tottenham 5, Burnley 0.
Today was very difficult with the quality of players they have. They've got match winners and difference makers all over the pitch, but, you know, that's the league we're in, and we have to find a way to get points in these games. But ultimately today, once they scored the first goal, the game went away from us.
Now, in some ways, the most fun on the show is the worst performance of the week. And we've got some belters for you here. Who's going to start? I think, Mark, why don't you start?
Yeah, mine is...
Have you tried to lead us astray in the last section?
Well, I'll do it again now, shall I?
Yeah.
my worst performance of the week is... it's a group of people. It is young-ish English managers.
But they're the future of the game. They must all be given a chance. Surely they will win us the title. Surely we must get rid of Johnny and Dave Foreigner
have
English managers. This
is exactly right. This is why... this week, and maybe this week alone, I'm going to say they're the worst performers of the week. The ones I'm looking at in particular, Eddie Howe, who lost again for Bournemouth. That's now 6 defeats in a row for Bournemouth. Sean Dyche, that's why I can't possibly use the word young. It'll be youngish, and I certainly won't be using the word trendy.
We were talking about trendy England managers, but Sean would... Well, actually, to be fair, Sean would get the train down here and come after us if we called him trendy, wouldn't he?
Well, he'd
bring Duncan Ferguson with him. It'd be a disaster.
Well, Sean Dyche has lost 6 out of 8 for Burnley. It's not looking good for them. Frank Lampard for Chelsea, who's been fantastic, to be fair, on you know, reasonably scarce resources, lost comfortably 3-1 at Everton.
Reasonably scarce resources. They spent 120 million in a transfer window where they were banned from buying players.
But he didn't spend anything, is my point. And actually, this transfer window now, where he's going to be with a bit more freedom and money to do something, might be a bit of a curse, I think, because there's another metric now to measure him on.
Chelsea buying Jadon Sancho, but what does that do to Callum Hudson-Odoi?
Ridiculous.
Again,
I don't understand.
Again, that's just paper talk. That doesn't make any sense at all. Talk about being overloaded with width. They've only got one centre forward that he likes.
They've got Willian, they've got Pedro, they've got Callum, they've got them all there,
Pulisic.
There'd be no need for it. But in a week where we're talking about Marco Silva leaving Everton, being sacked from them for being awful, and we think, well, who's the English guy going to come through, take the job? Well, they're not making it easy for themselves, are they, with weekends like this?
I mean, Burnley, I have a theory, and it's not a theory, it's a fact. There are no established Premier League teams except for the top six, the current top six, famously top six. Maybe Leicester now, and I used to think Everton. But everybody else is just, they spend their seasons bouncing up and down on the relegation trapdoor till one day the hinges break. And Burnley... having been praised, I like the way the toughness of their game. I like their two centre forward approach. I think Sean talks a lot of sense about the game, but the fact is, this is the fact, they have lost 21 of their last 28 league games. Now, therefore, if the season was over the two seasons, they'd be going down. And I'm not sure I see any reason to think that they won't be one of the ones really struggling this year.
I think we can talk about quite a few teams who can be in that position. There's so many there, and I don't think we're really going to get an idea until we get into April. Because I think it's just this cat and mouse they're playing down.
Do you think Watford are gone, even with Nigel Pearson? They've got to get 1.4 points per game.
You worry about them scoring goals. And they're even more worried about conceding goals, except for yesterday, of course.
And then you've got Southampton, who've got the opposite problem, what I call the Crystal Palace problem, where they went down with Andrew Johnson, one of the leading goal scorers in the Premier League. Danny Ings is about third in the goal scoring charts and is in a team that looks to me like they're going to go down. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, we always talk about how you need a player to score you 12 to 15 at least to have any sort of shot.
Well, Ings is likely to get 20 to where it's going.
Ings has been absolutely phenomenal. Like he looked very good when he was at Burnley, got the move to Liverpool. Injury, you know, paid to that a little bit. But he is genuinely a top striker. And I think if Southampton stay up, and it is a big if, they got him to thank for a lot of that.
Okay, that's the English managers dealt with. Have you got a villain, a worst performance of the week?
I think we've got to go to Southampton.
Ah, the aforementioned Southampton.
Yeah, I think we have to talk about them in general. But we talk about that 9-0. We can talk about what they've done after. But they've got themselves in front this weekend and they end up getting beat by Newcastle, who really, in theory, have been absolutely fantastic. The manager's been great. Surprisingly, they couldn't score goals. They'd give away goals. But now they've got a manager who has done better than the Messiah, Benitez.
They're 9 points better off than this time
nine,
last year.
Nine, you say?
Nine
did
points.
I say 8 on the radio over the weekend? I did, didn't I?
I think you might have done, Danny, yeah. So I'm here to correct
In fact, Newcastle are getting better without even playing, aren't they?
It's about 10 on 11 points.
I mean, the Southampton thing is, you know, we all know that you're not going to go to Liverpool and win the game. The relegation will be decided in these games between the teams in the bottom half. And I think a Newcastle side that are playing better now, but let's be fair, they're not ripping teams to shred, West Ham United notwithstanding, where they did give them a lesson. If you get a goal up at Newcastle, you've got to come away with at least a point. Otherwise, you are saying, we are relegation fodder, aren't you? Of course, Newcastle can come back, but to lose the game, particularly after they lost the game so badly last weekend, it's crippling for them, I think.
Yeah, I can't see three teams worse than them. I mean, maybe Watford, but even then...
Watford are a better team. When you look at Watford on paper, they have got better players. They're losing games, and obviously I didn't see the game yesterday, but when you look at
lucky boy,
they've been quite unlucky in certain games, and now they're saying that their big chief is back now. Deeney maybe gets fit, he might make a difference. But they're the ones for me who just they've got enough to get themselves out of trouble.
Norwich, so a real problem, aren't they? Farker started to say now, hasn't he? I said his name there, didn't I? Get away with that. Farker started to say that, you know, we are a team who came up last year and didn't spend any money. Well, Sheffield United hardly broke the bank. One team turns out is very well suited to the Premier League. What a job Chris Wilder's doing, by the way. And another, the home defeat for them over the weekend, I think, is also not a neck breaker, but you will be putting the rail jacks on for the next couple of weeks.
And again, when you go a goal up at home in a game of as important as that,
you've got to get something out of that football match. Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever it is, something.
We know teams down the bottom don't win a lot of matches, but you cannot lose the game. And they did lose the game. So that's Southampton amongst it. I just want to, for worst performance, I just want to throw in... things go in and out of fashion, don't they? So suddenly, it's all the rage among professional goalkeepers to let goals in at the near post. I'll start with my own mob, Gazzaniga. Was it Martial's shot went through him? Rashford's shot went through him the other night at Old Trafford. Who else did we see over the weekend? Matt Ryan at Brighton, was it?
Yes.
Was it Ryan? Yep.
And yesterday I saw Edison.
Yep.
The Martial one.
Yep. One of the two best goalkeepers in the world, people tell me. Martial beats him at the near post. Look, probably a coincidence, right? But I actually think, putting my jeweller's eyepiece on the thing, I wonder if goalkeepers are now so obsessed with their positioning to start with, because they're expected to play out and also to be slightly sweepers as well.
Yeah, right.
Whereas before, they were on the line and then came out to meet the attackers. Now they're retreating to their line. And I wonder whether it's just taking the traditional angles out of the game a little bit for them. Otherwise, I can't explain, because... even an old lump like me, if you're on the near post, it's very hard to beat you. If there's the post there, Paul, and you can curl it round me the way that Grealish did the other day, but to beat me at the near post is a real handful. And yet they'll get, unless it's power that's beaten them, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I talked about the goal yesterday, and that's just come out of just interchange of passes, and I just think Martial hit it so early, and there was a few people around him. Edison got caught out by it. The strike was so clean, and a daisy cutter as well. Do people still use that saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, they don't. Why but not? I know what you mean.
Yeah, thank you. And and it was just too quick.
Oh, he's having a go at the daisies now. That is bad, isn't it? 2020.
I don't think we can carry on now blaming goalkeepers and let a goal in. I think it's just quite poor. If the ball goes in the near post, we go, oh, that's poor goalkeeping. I think that's disrespectful to the person who's had that strike. That's taking something away. I don't think you can take that away from Martial. You have to say that was a great movement, great first touch at his feet, and bang, it was... it was a great finish.
Yeah, same as Neil Mopes as well. He hit a real peach of a shot. Okay,
was it a rasper? Did people say that as well as daisy cutters?
Well, it wasn't
cutters.
A daisy cutter, but it was a bit of a rasper.
But he did
on
pull
the half
trigger.
Volley beauty. Yeah, and it was, you know, technically near post, but when it's powerful and accurate like that, what can you do? And I agree with you, Danny. I think it is to do with the fact that they're playing sweeper first and foremost, and then retreating to their. You know, the days.
The angles
watching,
are different now than they used to be. Yeah.
Yeah, when you used to watch Tim Flowers mark out his angles and his six-yard line. Those days, you don't see that anymore.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed for that. And when I saw the Burnley goalkeeper get beaten 5, I did, albeit at least two of them were worldies, although looking at you as a former defender, I know Kane is useless, but if you give him that space about 4 yards outside of penalty, he always scores, doesn't he, with that kind of dipping shot that he does. But what about the idea that Joe Hart just sits there on the Burnley bench now? It's very odd, isn't it?
He seems happy doing that.
He does, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, he's seen a position which he knows he can be there for life rather than trying to be a number one. Because that's
you wouldn't have done that, Parker. You would not have done that.
Not in a million years. But I wasn't a goalkeeper. Wasn't big enough. Before you say anything,
No one ever said anything about your size ever.
Yeah, you're saying it now. You're following.
Because you brought it up.
I know, but I didn't need you to follow it up.
That won't do at all.
But Joe Hart seems content to be there because when he was at number one, he was struggling. His career capitulated so quickly. I think
amazing,
he's content to be there. But it's just being a number two in Burnley is the biggest concern.
Well, Burnley, of course, found themselves in the summer with a very unlikely... I mean, it's like playing poker, isn't it? What an unlikely hand. We've got three England goalkeepers, yeah. You know. Does that beat two pair? I don't know. So, worst performances of the week, goalkeepers at the near post... Trendy and otherwise England manager Southampton Football Club ahead against the bottom half, what was then a bottom half rival, only to get nowhere with it. Mark, you don't seem to want any of these, so I'm going to go to you first and hope you can make the case.
Well, I'm going to stick with the trendy English managers.
Yeah,
I've got to. We hear this argument all the time, and I think they're just not doing themselves any favours. When they all lose on the same weekend, I think it's one of those things. It's a headline grabber.
Thank God for Chris Wilder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But he's the exception that proves all the rules.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like the sort of person that I think the owners are looking for these days, sort of matinee idol actors and all the rest of it.
They want front door management, and he's not front door management. He's in the back of the shop, isn't he, really, counting the money.
I don't know what he's doing, but I know his team are a treat to watch. And on top of everything else, and he doesn't want any credit for this. He says that's the minimum requirement. Man, are they in the game. They never think they're out of the football match, which is fantastic.
Mark needs something, doesn't he? I'm going to go
with
him.
He does, yeah.
I don't want your pity.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want your pity. Leave it out.
Well, I'm going to stick with you. We've plenty of pity as well.
Okay, well, I don't even have a casting vote here, but I would say that if I had, I would have given it to Mark out of pity.
Thank you. A clean sweep of pity votes.
Thanks to the three of you. That's been including myself. I'm Danny Kelly. Mark Smith's been here. Fantastic as always. Paul Parker recovering from a slur about his knowledge of football in the first half to produce great goods indeed. We went through all the things on the podcast. It's called the Game Day Record Book. If you enjoyed it, thank you very much. Tell your friends, get them to download. It's available through all the usual offices. Don't forget also to download the appendix a couple of days' time. That's also very good fun indeed. We're back next week with a whole new cast of people as we try to understand the very basics, the DNA, the guts of the Premier League.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.